Yo, Wednesday, September 20th.
And we're just hanging.
Just hanging out again. When's the last time we did a podcast?
If you keep asking that question.
These all start the fucking same, don't they? Okay, well, let's see. What are we doing? I just got a text message, so this whole intro has been derailed.
I saw it too, and I was like, I don't know, I'm just gonna throw it off.
Can't do two things at once. We're gonna keep this. You good? Are we? No.
No, we're not.
Oh, come on.
Fuck it. Okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
I can restart it.
Nah, let's just go.
It's more authentic this way. Yeah. I fucked it up. 2 minutes. Not even 2 minutes.
You see, you're
36 seconds.
You're worried about me.
We're shaking off the rust. We're gonna
a lot of rust.
Do I even say we're gonna try to do it more consistently?
No, we're not.
No,
we'll do it when we get to it.
We'll do it when we get to it. Welcome to Just Hangin', your favorite indie podcast.
Somehow production keeps getting worse. Professionalism continues to go out the window.
It's okay. It's authentic. That's
it's real.
It's real. We're not shortchanging you. We don't know what we're doing.
This is how you know there's no editing.
Exactly. And that's why we're here. So we're here to talk about a movie. Surprise, surprise. Out of everything that's come out, we've had Ninja Turtles,
Blue Beetle,
The Meg 2.
I think we missed some Marvel movie or there. Something.
Was there a Marvel movie?
I don't know. They released fucking five of them.
Well, I mean, we haven't talked since like Guardians came out, John Wick.
Yep.
And
we're here to talk about the most compelling one out of all of them.
A Haunting in Venice. The latest movie we've watched.
The only one we remember.
We were going to do a whole like movie recap, but then we were like, oh.
I don't know. What the fuck happened in Blue Beetle?
So we're going to do A Haunting in Venice. I think we both had a good time with this movie. And it's spooky season. It's starting, so.
I had a surprisingly good time with this because I wasn't a big fan of.
I didn't really like the first two that much, to be honest.
I honestly didn't really like the first one at all.
Yeah.
And then the second one I didn't even bother with because I was like, I heard it was worse than the first one. So I was just like.
I remember the first one feeling pretentious. It may not have been, but it.
Yeah, it felt like
this movie's finally.
It felt overly serious, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like pretty silly. At least the characters kind of silly.
Like I know that the story's like prestige,
and they play it straight. So like they are
played straight, but it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, but the feeling I had was that one was like Oscar baity. It felt like that. Like it's an adaptation, but it's
was it Agatha Christie novel.
Yeah, and then. It wasn't. It was just like a little mystery movie, which is fine. I like
but
that.
The marketing for it and the tone.
That's what I'm saying.
It.
They were like, oh, finally being adapted.
Murder on the Orient Express.
It was cool. Like, it was, a
it
cool
was
movie.
Fine.
And then the second one, I don't think I really liked. I don't remember.
I didn't watch it.
I think I watched it, but I don't remember anything about it. That's the one with Gal Gadot, right?
I'm
I think she was in it.
You forgot a movie with Gal Gadot. How dare you?
I only care when she's in The Fast and the Furious.
fucking three of them.
Okay, so let's do this. Because we already just started talking. Okay, so let me do synopsis. We'll do the tomato meter. Everybody's favorite segment. A Haunting in Venice is set in eerie post-World War II Venice on All Hallows' Eve and is a terrifying mystery featuring the return of the celebrated sleuth Hercule Poirot. Now retired and living in self-imposed exile in the world's most glamorous city, Poirot reluctantly attends a séance of a decaying haunted palazzo. Ooh. When one of the guests is murdered, the detective is thrust into a sinister world of shadows and secrets. That's pretty good.
Out of all the words in that synopsis, seance was the one that tripped you up?
I remember them saying it in the movie, too, but I'm just learning how to read.
You even said his fucking name, Ray. Phil.
I just love that character.
I love how hammy it is.
Yeah, he's great. PG-13, yep. Holiday. The first genre is holiday on it.
It's Hallows' Eve. It's Hallows' Eve.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's Halloween, but it's like.
It's very understated.
That's. Like, if you asked me what it was, I wouldn't say a Halloween movie.
I'd say mystery.
A mystery, yeah.
Or even horror.
Kenneth Branagh, did he do the last two?
I don't know if he directed.
Oh, yeah, he was obviously in them. The box office, $14 million. It cost 60 to make. So I don't think we'll be seeing the next book. This is a series of books, right?
I think they've been adapting like just kind of whichever ones.
And they just tie the detective into them?
I think this one hadn't been adapted.
Right.
Which is why they made a big deal out of it.
They made a big deal out of this?
Or they tried.
Oh, I didn't know it was even a thing.
Well, I guess they were trying to make it more, which is probably why they also like kind of hid the shit behind. Because the marketing for this was very different from...
The marketing was that of a horror movie.
And it is very much not a horror movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't. There is horror elements, and they mess with it a little, but I wouldn't say it's a horror movie. It's a mystery through and through. It has like a horror spooky background to it.
Which makes sense for the setting.
But we'll talk about that, because I liked some of that a lot.
Agreed, yeah.
So, is it time? Mixed in Dolby Atmos, Tina Fey.
Yeah. That was weird, seeing her in the...
But she was good?
No, yeah.
Yeah, I mind her.
But anyway, let's get started on...
It's time for America's favorite game show. Is it this button? Yeah, it is. Woo! All right, welcome back. We haven't gotten canceled yet.
Can't get canceled for not even...
That is loud. Okay.
Production, that? Very...
I haven't done this in like a month. 2 months?
It's been longer.
It's been longer than that.
It's been longer than that.
I can't tell you what the last movie we did is.
Indiana Jones.
Oh yeah, that's like at least 2 months. Sheesh. Okay.
What's the segment called?
Guess that tomato meter. Woo! I don't have applause. Anyway, down to the nitty gritty. Oh, we might not get through this episode. It's getting kind of hot.
No one's getting through this episode.
Hey, we have one fan in Sri Lanka that has something to say about that.
And I probably won't understand.
All right, Jesus, come on down. It's time to guess that tomato meter. Yay. Would you like to do the critics or the audience first?
Critics.
It's time.
I feel like this one's pretty easy.
All right. Out of 230 reviews... Guess that tomato meter.
I want to say this got probably the highest ratings from all three. I think the first one had like a 60-something, so... 75?
God damn.
Let's
77.
Go. Still got it.
Still got it. Yeah, no, that's pretty good. I think I agree. I mean, I feel like this most people like this one.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't anything like blatantly bad about it.
No, it was just consistently really good. So yep. I definitely like this one the most out of them.
I agree.
A bunch. So,
all right. Well, let's see if he can do it twice. From an audience score out of 500 plus verified ratings, which means they probably gave their information to this website.
They logged in.
Guess that tomato meter.
One's a little more tough because I don't know what the average person's thinking on this one.
I mean, we were in a pretty crowded theater.
Yeah, well, it looked like most people were in it. Let me go with 85.
Incorrect. Oh, the music's looping.
That's fine. That works. 90?
One more. Wow. You're going to take an L on this one. Oh.
Fuck it. I'll go higher.
Higher? You said 90 something. That's the tip I'll give you. Oh, okay. That,
yeah, clip, that just died that out. That just
fucking sucks. Okay.
That really sums up my run right now.
It's all on the line.
Let's go
the
78. Street.
78 is what you said? 77. You Ooh. Saved the streak. It's exactly the same for the critics and the audience.
That's rare.
Yeah.
That's very fucking rare.
Especially because there's so many. Usually if there's like 10 reviews, you're like,
well, oh, that's okay. Why I was like, it's got to be higher. It's usually higher. Critics.
I think the horror readers. Elements brought it home for like the regular audience.
Yeah. Because I was either expecting people really love this or were very disappointed based on... them trying to play it off as a horror movie, but okay, 77.
Yeah, so 77 and 77. Jesus lives another day. Whew. The Jaybird undefeated still.
It was the fourth quarter. Got very close.
You had that last minute game winner. The critics' consensus is a darker and spookier spin on Branagh's Perrault. A Hunting in Venice is a decent Halloween snack who's under... What? Undemanding mystery gets a lift from nifty visuals and an all-star cast. I was like, undermining? Undemanding.
Undemanding.
That's kind of rough.
That's a little fucked up.
Yeah, what it...
Okay, but in the first one, it's everyone, so...
Oh, I mean, spoiler.
This book is fucking 50 years old.
Has this movie come out in Sri Lanka yet? You just ruined it for somebody.
If he's watching this, he watched the first two.
Dang. We don't know.
Hey, correct. It's mostly guys.
Pretty much. Yeah, that a Halloween snack with an undemanding mystery. That is a critic's consensus.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, not good enough for me. That's my accent.
One with that one. Okay, we're just gonna keep.
Listen, we already started bad. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, yep. Production is going
right. Welcome back, Jaybird.
Listen, I got shook up. I almost fucked up right there.
It's okay. Good. Listen. Breathe. Let's see, carry you to the next segment.
All right.
Which is just general talking. Do you want to do what we liked or what we didn't like about this movie first?
We can go with what we like.
What we like. I liked almost all of it. Like, I like the movie in general. Like, I don't have any major gripes. Mm-hmm. I don't think. We might uncover them as we speak. But I thought the detective was not as hammy, but hammy, if that makes sense.
I think it was the right tone.
Like, it wasn't silly, but it was, like, unserious.
Because visually, it does look a little silly.
Yeah, I mean, the character itself. And he's quirky, right? He's got all his... But they played that straight as if, of course, that's who he is. And I thought that benefited it because when I say unserious, I mean this whole haunting's happening and everyone's all crazy. And he's just kind of like, all right, let's just find out what happened.
Yeah, it's more of him just going, all right, I know all this is fake. So,
but how? Yeah. So I really liked him in it. Tina Fey was fine. Like, I wouldn't say it
she
was
didn't
like
have too much
this
to...
incredible performance, but it was good.
She had too much to chew on, so.
No, she was like as side of a character as you could.
Basically, everyone was just had basically one scene to show out their acting chops.
The little kid was good.
Little kid was good, but he also had quite a bit more to work with.
Michelle Yeoh was good, even though she wasn't in it for too long.
Spoiler.
We're in spoilers.
You didn't say spoilers.
Spoilers. Michelle Yeoh's not in this movie for that long. I'm assuming because she's the most expensive.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, that's what... But weirdly enough, Johnny Depp was the one that gets killed in the first one.
But at the time, he was expensive.
During Murder in the Orient?
Yeah, right? That happened before Fantastic Beasts, no? That movie's old. I think.
You might be right. You might be right.
Because I remember it was like kind of a big deal when...
Well, the whole cast was like made to be a big deal in that one, but yeah, you're right.
Like, what the hell? Oh, it said Ridley Scott. I was like, where was he in this movie? He's a producer. Yeah, I mean, the cast was good. I thought
that what 50 Shades of Grey guy?
50 Shades of Grey guy. Camille Cotton, Kelly Riley. Like,
the bodyguard looked familiar to me, but I didn't.
He looked like Javier Bardem to me. Like, but yeah, he's not. I'm just looking at Ricardo Scamarcio. What's he been in? John Wick 2?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's where it's from.
He's the dick. He's the main bad guy, is he not?
He's the dick.
Yeah.
That's you're right. No, you're right. The one he kills in the... Yeah.
Okay. Spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Okay.
Fucking cares.
So I thought everyone, like, there wasn't an outlier in the cast that I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, they were all fine. I mean, again, it's not the craziest thing to act in because the detective is the one carrying most of it.
That's why.
And I think the mom.
Well, yeah, which makes sense later.
Yeah. So, like, the acting, I think, was there. I thought the setting was really good. Like, the ambiance of, like, it was creepy, like, how Halloween was celebrated back then.
Well, what I like... was, and this is what a lot of horror movies get wrong, was that the setting itself didn't look horrific per se, right? Like, it's a rundown building in Italy, right?
At night, in the middle of a storm.
That's why. But, like, there's no... There's so many horror movies where they feel like they need to make it way more creepy by, like, adding artificial shit.
It looks like Tim Burton-esque type of thing. That's what you mean.
And it takes you out of the movie because you're like, well, you intentionally made it creepier, quotations.
Right.
By adding these, like, fake elements. And this, it makes the setting creepy without...
It'd be creepy anyway.
The same way, like, when you're at a school and it's really late and you're the only person there and stuff.
It's creepy.
That's creepy.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, the setting itself was like, hey, it's this fucking rundown house in the middle of Halloween. Everyone's a little on edge.
And weird shit's happening.
Exactly. And then the house itself plays a role because there's little, like, hidden passages, the garden. So the house itself plays a role in the movie. And there's certain people that know the layout of the house and others that don't within the plot. So
which was also a nice little clue for...
Exactly, because you're like, whoever's doing this knows the layout of the house.
Because they're moving around very quickly.
Yeah. And the weird shit happening is, like, at very, like, weird places that as the detective finds them, he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, and there's, like, it's, like, in blind spots and stuff.
Yeah.
Places where you can hide easily.
So, I thought that was cool. I think the backdrop of Halloween and then them doing the seance.
That was a good choice, yeah.
And... Like, I thought the whole setup was pretty good where she's like, hey, there's this person that says they're a psychic.
Yeah, it's like, can you prove it's bullshit, basically?
Right. And it turns out that it's not just to prove it's bullshit. It's because lady wants a fucking book. Like, she wants to write a book because she's kind of washed.
Which, like, falls in line with a lot of these stories, especially from, like, this book series where it has that cynical edge of where, like, this is what people would do because they're pieces of shit, basically.
Yep.
And it's like she just wanted another fucking, basically award-winning novel. So she
manipulated him. I don't know enough, and I can't remember enough about the old movies, but it's implied that a lot of her successful books are just documenting what Perrault has been doing.
Right. And yeah, they even mention it where she's like, the only reason people know you is because they figured out through my novels.
But he's like, but I'm the one that actually fucking solves the mysteries, and you're just documenting that. So
exactly.
You could tell the relationship between them isn't, like, at first it's like buddy-buddy, and then it gets a little more
until we find out more.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, we're in spoilers, so she sets him up to go, but she doesn't expect the murder. She's just there to either debunk the psychic or prove that the psychic is actually real.
Yeah, and the psychic didn't even know.
No. She didn't know what was going on either.
She didn't know what the fuck was going on. This was all coincidence.
Yeah. And I like that they play her. I mean, ultimately, you're like, she's full of shit.
Even when she gets there, right? Even the assistants are like, yeah, she's full of shit.
But at first, you don't get that feeling because you don't know where it's going. Like,
right.
You're like, okay, well, he's there to debunk it. Weird shit does happen. They kind of play with you because she starts talking through, like, the daughter, and then there's the typewriter. So, like, you're like, they're like, at first we're like, oh, are they going to have a little bit of, like, not necessarily, like, supernatural, but a little of you going, oh.
I think a big part of that was also the way it was shot, because they had the seance scene where you're basically seeing it from, like, Michelle Yeoh's perspective, where it's just spinning and spinning and spinning.
Yeah.
And it's super disorienting, and it's like, it looks like she's fucking possessed. Like,
they do that really well with the detective, too.
Yeah.
When he starts hallucinating and shit, they give you a lot of things from his perspective or what he's seeing. So you're like, wait, I thought the straight man is the detective and we're seeing stuff through his lens, but now he's seeing fucking blood and children, like,
yeah, walking by.
And you're like, oh, is there something going on?
Yeah,
you obviously go, well, there's not, but he's seeing the shit and we're his point of view right now.
Well, not only are we his point of view, but just based off of the other movies, you're like, well, if anyone's logical and isn't getting caught up in this shit,
it's him. Yeah, because you've established.
So when you start seeing shit from his perspective and stuff is going wild, it's like, oh, is there a supernatural element to it?
Yeah, I mean, and me not knowing the series, the question that I carried through the movie was, okay, he's going to debunk it to some degree. And I was like, and then something will be left unproven and they'll just go, hey, you know what? Some life shit happens, like that, right? Because things have done that before. Like, other pieces of media have done that, especially because you're playing with the spooky setting. You go, hey, whatever happened with Thing? And they're like, what?
Well, like, something like that. It's like,
No, they did not do that.
Well, they did and they didn't.
Yeah, they did. They did a little.
They did a little, and you mentioned this before.
I did, because I felt that coming from the moment they established that something, like, I think it's when he starts questioning his faith, like, halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
When he doesn't know he's on the fucking hallucinogen poison.
Yeah, yeah.
You go, oh, are they going to do, like, is the girl's spirit actually
possessing the house or something?
Yeah, and you're like, okay, and it'll just go unexplained. There'll be some poetic justice.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
And it's left up to you, because at that point, he's hopped up on the poison when the lady falls off the ledge.
Yeah.
But the visual itself is like, it's left to be interpreted as, you know, maybe it's not, but at the same time,
it was.
Her spirit is resting.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I thought that was really good. Like,
I thought they did it in a very tasteful way.
Yeah.
And what I did like about the elements of this was that this felt a lot more, it felt a lot more stylized than the other ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
it felt like, just with the horror visuals being added and like that element being added to the story, it felt like you could try a lot more shit visually. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the first one, it felt like just shots of people talking in a room. And I think
which
this
is
movie,
what it is, yeah.
Which is what it is, but like this movie showed, it's like you can do a lot more visually if you have the right person behind it.
Yes, but it also helps a lot that as the viewer, you don't know, no matter what, even if you think, hey, it's going to be bullshit in the end, you have the anticipation of the spooky shit, the haunting itself,
yeah,
alongside with the murder, right? So everyone's on edge because everyone except the detective and up to some point even him are like, am I actually seeing shit? Like, is shit actually haunted? And that goes along with the murder, because you're like, well, the spirit isn't necessarily the one killing people, but there's someone killing people, and then there's a spirit.
Yeah.
Because like, at some point, the little girl's trying to guide him in his
Yeah.
In his trip, whatever happens. When he's at the worst, he's seeing the little girl that died.
Yeah.
And he says it's his cognitive reasoning taking
basically
form.
Basically guiding him, yeah.
Right. And maybe. Right, and that's where they leave it up. But I think that this one, since you're not just trying to connect the dots with people talking, there's also a ghost, potentially. That's what drives home the, oh. So I thought because of that, they can elevate it the way you said.
Agreed, yeah.
Because if you go back to just a bunch of people on a train, which one's the one killing people, but you don't have the extra, like, oh, shit, it is haunted? And then you're like, wait, no. Wait, yes. So
yeah, it adds just an extra element that keeps you intrigued more, and it adds another layer of mystery to it on top of the mystery, the literal mystery itself.
And it's so good that he's tripping balls, because that's what throws the viewer off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Completely off. Because
in
like,
the first
wait,
one, you're like, well, he's
gonna figure it
he's
out.
He's gonna figure it out, and it's like, and there's no like extra thing. It's just more like, okay, how did they plan this? Or like, how did this person plan this? And it reaches a logical conclusion.
Yeah. So I thought all that stuff was cool. I mean, we kind of saw that it was going to be the mom right away, right?
Yeah, that one I knew immediately.
But that's part, I think that's on purpose, right? Because you walk in and you're like, the mom killed her. And then the haunting shit starts happening. You're like, wait, did she? Because the boyfriend's there, the doctor's there, and you're like, and then you go, well, was it all of them again?
Yeah.
Because you're like, are we doing that again?
Yeah, it's like, is it going to be that? Like, is it going to be cheap again? And it's just be like,
yeah,
everyone had a reason.
And I also thought I mean, I didn't anticipate that she was giving her the poison.
No.
And that one night she happens to slip, and then the house lady just gives her too much, and she just passes away, right? I didn't anticipate any of that. I thought, hey, she might have gone crazy because of the mom's overbearance, whatever. She was literally drugging her, like, so she wouldn't leave. So then you're like, oh, and then the blackmail, this and that. Like, it really develops pretty well.
Yeah.
And that all happens, like, in the last act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a slow burn.
But what I did like in this one, more so than the other ones, was that there was a lot of visual cues or clues as to what was going on, mm-hmm, and, like, how they were like how they were hiding shit like during the party and stuff like that, because I feel like in the first one, I don't know if I'm not remembering it all that well, but it felt like when they were doing the visuals of like, oh, how did they do everything? It felt like they were just showing you stuff that you couldn't have seen anyway, because mm-hmm. like it wasn't in the movie,
right?
And this one felt a lot more like, oh yeah, that shit was in the background, or like you that was passing attention. By, and yeah. Which is the way you do a good mystery. You leave those intentional clues, like when she kicks over the, was it a knife or something on right. the roof? It's very subtly in there. She just kind of kicks something, and you're like, I don't know what the fuck that was, but it's a nice little hint, and later they mention it. When they're like drowning him, and then they stop trying to drown him, it's like,
oh, they thought it was someone else. They weren't
trying to kill him. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, they were trying to kill Michelle Yeoh, but.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And then probably pending on a rewatch, you'll go,
yeah.
ah.
Yeah, you go like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought overall, like, I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah.
And even the stuff that I expected or, like, knew was going to happen, it didn't quite happen the way, like, I would think. And to me, that's kind of...
Well, and there was multiple layers to the mystery. It wasn't just who did it. It was... Why'd they do it? And
but ultimately, that's the key to these books and movies, right? Like, those stories got big because it wasn't just, I killed him because whatever. It's like, they give you that backstory. They feed you well.
Yeah, and then there's all these connections that all lead up to it, even mm-hmm. if it's not intentional.
Yeah, so and I could see it working really well in a book. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But the fact that they can translate it to a movie so well, and I think, listen, I don't know. I didn't read the books, but I can assume they got the essence, at least, of what they were going for with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, that's about as good as it gets. I thought the cinematography was pretty good.
Yeah.
And they use the wide shots that you like. but they used them in service of the film.
Yeah, so there's a specific lens that I really hate.
That was the fisheye lens?
Fisheye lens. I hate seeing it done, or overdone, I should say. For no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we might talk about this on another review that we might or might not do in the future. But in this movie, it made sense. Because it was a very specific angle where she's like looking down at them.
The mom is, yeah.
The mom is. And it feels very like creepy, and it's very like disorienting. As if there's something already wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of giving you a visual of like, you should be on edge already because there's something going on, which is a proper way to use shots, which I can't say about the other thing.
They do that a lot with a lot of shots, the way they compose them.
Yeah.
It's enough, like you said, to hint you if you're looking for it, but enough to distract you because of how it looks to not even pay attention to it.
Exactly.
So I agree. I thought that was good. Like I said, I don't have any major gripes. We could talk about the kid. I think that's the last thing.
Right.
That we did, but
I would say this is my minor negative. It's not, it doesn't take me out of the movie or anything like that, but the kid was just a little too weird.
I thought it was just little him. Like, that's how I took it, because he's wacky
I could see that. I just thought it might have been a little overdone in terms of how mature he was, because it just felt like he was an adult full on, mm-hmm. and at no point did I think it was like a kid.
Okay.
Which, I understand. It's like him basically going like, oh, he's also too smart basically for this shit.
Yep.
But to the point where this kid was like,
he was ahead of the detective. He was
like giga smart. So it kind of threw me off, because I was just like, I mean, he doesn't have the same experiences and shit like that. It's like, you wouldn't know that much. And granted, he does know what the fuck is going on, because he was involved in it.
Yep. That's the thing I never
But that's guessed. Also what like, that aspect of it kind of made it a little weird, even more so then, because he wasn't as horrified as I think he should be, considering that he knew.
Oh, that they were trying to kill whoever was blackmailing?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think he should have been a little more terrified, considering he actually knew his role in this.
But I think he knew he just wouldn't get caught, because you're not going to anticipate the little kid.
Yeah, but then his dad died because of him, and you still see no reaction.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's true.
Like, it's just,
But it's a minor gripe. It feels very much like the detective. Like, he sees so much death and shit. And I get it. For him, it's like, I've seen so much. It doesn't matter
anymore. That's why.
He even says it in the
movie.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, he has, but, like, the kid hasn't.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's an element that they just kind of gloss over. They were like, oh, he's just smart, too.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking back to throughout the movie. He's like, hey, you're not suspecting me? And he's like, nah, you're a little kid. But, like, he was basically telling him, like, it's my fault that everything's happening.
Yeah.
Which the detective does pick up on, because at the end, he's like, hey, fucking stop.
Yeah, like, he's like, you did some shit.
Yeah. So the detective knew, but he plays it along, because ultimately the kid wasn't going to kill anybody.
Well, and the kid didn't do anything technically wrong. Or at least,
all he did was blackmail the mom, because he knew that she was the reason that the girl died.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boyfriend character was a little weak, too. I mean, but again, everyone had, like, a couple minutes.
I was going to say, he was a little weak, but it was, like,
yeah,
for the story purpose that he served, I think it was fine.
Yeah.
The bodyguard was a little random.
Yeah, it was just, like, he was another little cog in
like,
the
Like,
the
I plan. Get it. He was basically just there to give a reason why Tina Fey would, like, show up. Or, like, right. How she would show up, because
he's in exile, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, like, it serves a purpose, but it's, like...
Yeah. The surprising other thing, they do a lot of mental health things.
They do.
That's a big theme of this movie.
I don't know if that was... I feel like that wouldn't be in the original books, unless maybe...
I don't
maybe,
think so, either.
Because that seems like a very modern thing to...
Well, because it's post-World War II, right? Everyone's a little fucked up. And they make sure to address that in the movie. Yeah, I haven't read the book, so I don't know, but I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like,
yeah.
Because the doctor's like, oh, I'm a loony, I'm crazy. And it's like, no, you have PTSD, my guy.
Yeah, it's like you were at war. Like,
yeah, like you've seen some shit. And then Michelle Yeoh was a nurse during the war. Right. She's also a little off her rocker.
Well, and then even the detective is like, I've seen so much shit that it's like,
he's fucked up too. Yeah.
He's so fucked up.
So I thought it was refreshing.
It was done.
Because it wasn't done like, oh, mental health. Did. Like, it was just like, yo, like, this is what a person that has seen this, they'd behave this way. Like,
yeah. And
because, like, back then, mental health didn't exist. They just told you were crazy.
Yeah. And they even, like, they had the characters that would be like, oh, like, you're just fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Which is probably how the people during that time would react. But then you also have, like, the angle of, like, basically, the detective or, like, anyone that's actually decent in this movie is, like, no, it's mental health shit. It's, like...
Even the kid.
Yeah, even the kid. Well, the kid was the one that was, like, consoling the dad.
It's that's why I was, like, it was just interesting because, yeah, I think in that period, even when this book was probably written... When was this book written? Are these old books or are they new books?
Agatha Christie. I don't know what fucking period that is.
We're so dumb.
Why are we talking about
it? I waited for the movie to come out. I didn't want to read the book. Point is, they highlight mental health. They show it in all kinds of aspects and how people deal with it.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, virtue signaling. Like, it's just, hey, these people are...
They seen
some
shit.
They're a little messed up. Yeah. And that also goes into consideration when trying to solve the mystery.
Right. Because
you don't know what they're seeing or not seeing because everyone's a little off.
Well, and then you also have that being woven into, like, the murder of the girl because you're like, did she commit suicide
because
she had mental health? Or, like, what was going on there? And it turns out to be poisoning. It's like.
Exactly, but for a bit, they do kind of play it as, like, well, she went crazy when she broke up and this and that.
Yeah, and it's then like, that makes the boyfriend more suspicious and shit like that, because you're like, oh, well.
Right.
Was she crazy? Is that why he left her? Like, what the fuck was going on?
Yeah, that's true. That's a big thread that they kind of carry throughout the film.
Yeah, they talk about it, and then they weave it into the actual mystery, which is why it gives it purpose. It's like,
yeah. Cool.
But yeah, I don't have a lot of negatives. Yeah,
like I sat down, I ate my popcorn, and I had a good time, and then we walked away once it was done,
and it was good.
Yeah, you got anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
Where are we at? Okay, that's not too bad. We're not shitting on this one, so it won't be longer than it needs to be.
Yeah.
I guess. What was your favorite thing? And we'll just end on that.
I actually really liked the detective in this one.
I did too.
I thought he was played as an eccentric character, but not to the point of being distracting from the rest of the tone.
It feels like after two reps, they finally got it right, but yes, there won't the right be a
balance.
Next one.
Yeah, they got the right balance finally, where it's like he's a weird guy, but he's a serious guy. Like, yeah. Like, he'll take shit seriously when it happens, but he is a weird...
Yeah, he's just...
character. Like, he's a weird person, yeah.
Oh, I guess I'll end it on that. I like the ending where the events as a whole causes him to rethink his exile. I thought that was pretty cool, too, because I don't know if he ever had any character development, because he was the I'm-gonna-solve-this-mystery guy.
Right.
This movie gives him... all the character development, because he walks in like giving up on things. He's very smug. I don't do this shit anymore. I don't care. People suck.
They even mention like religion, because he's like, I've seen too much shit to believe in God. Like,
right. And then towards the end, he has a little more optimistic view on just in general. Like,
yeah. And I like how visually they show that when at the end, like you see the line of people that have been trying to talk to him the whole time. He just leaves the door open.
Yep. And he walks in.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool, because usually that character won't be the one.
Because
they're supposed to just walk through the...
It's supposed to be like that Mad Max type thing where it's like he shows up, shit happens, he leaves.
Exactly. And he's always... But
he felt changed in this one, yeah.
No, I mean, for that was a whole running thing. Like, his statements through the movie become less and less cynical.
Yeah.
But when he starts, like, he has, like, two or three lines in a row where he's like, I don't believe in anything. I've seen it all. You don't know what I've seen, blah, blah, blah. And towards the end, it comes from that spiritual experience from that flower that poisons him. Because
it was from the lewds.
It pretty much, it unlocked his brain, the fucking hallucinogens, because... I think it's the culmination of him seeing the daughter drag the mom in. Like,
that in the climax where it's like there was poetic justice or there wasn't.
At least in his mind there was.
He's agnostic now, basically. He's not sure. Which is farther than he was before, which was no.
Exactly. Exactly, because he's like, I thought I knew how shit was.
It's like that shit kind of changed my mind, because it did end up working out. It's like,
yeah. So I thought, like, they didn't have to do that. It could have just been like, I solved another one. Back to my exile. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Like, that's just when someone has a vision for a thing and they just do it, I like those movies. It doesn't have to be the best movie ever, but if you go, hey... this is where our character starts. Things happen. This is where it ends. And it makes sense.
And it's an arc.
And then I don't have to wait for another movie just to see if he... like, I love it. I like movies. I like films.
A
film that tells a story that I can watch, consume, and be done with.
Like Blue Beetle, you mean?
All right. That's enough for this week. You got any closing remarks? I think we covered it pretty well. It was a good movie. If you haven't seen it, we just ruined it all for you, but you probably should have seen it before listening to this podcast. But
or if you're listening to this podcast, you probably weren't gonna watch it anyway, so
that's true. We probably didn't do a great job of summarizing it because we just kind of talked about it.
Okay, bye.
We'll see you next time. It was a good movie. Go watch it. Stream it. Do whatever, because Kenneth Branagh needs more money. This did not make any
whatever he was supposed to get on the back end did not work.
Nope. Okay. You good, Jesus?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Let's go.
All right. Bye.